Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, this is our post-draft day special edition. I can't wait to talk draft with you.
Yeah, Jim, this should be a fun one, man. We got a lot of cool stuff, some fun stats and facts. We'll go over a little our guys, some Steelers stuff. It should be a fun one to get into. I'm not bragging yet, but the Steelers seem to be one of the champions of the draft. Everybody, PFF, NBC, all I'm seeing is A+ grades from my guys. So I'm pretty hype about it headed into the season. I think we came away with a good draft, and your Eagles too, Jim. You guys, I know you and someone else are getting into that a little bit later on another show, but you guys stole the two best cornerbacks in the entire draft, and that was pretty much the only leaking part of your roster was your cornerbacks. And there goes Howie Roseman again, pulling it off, shoring up that secondary and getting some other really valuable picks later in the draft. So both of our teams, and I assume a lot of our listeners, Eagles and Steelers fans, had a great draft. So congrats to all those people.
Howie Roseman, somehow, some way, he's the luckiest GM in the NFL, isn't he?
I guess so, Jim. We can either call it magic, or we can, you know, luck, or maybe he's just good at his job. I don't know what it is, but you guys killed it. So it's fun though. It's exciting when your team does well. But look, hey, a lot of teams can look good after draft night, but it does all depend how these guys pan out and how these coaches kind of sculpt them into what they're going to be. So it should be fun to see how it pans out and get a little look at them at rookie mini camp coming up here in a couple weekends.
Let's talk about draft day itself. First of all, you and I talked about this prior to the draft, how much we both enjoy it. It's like a holiday kind of thing. You celebrate, you have fun with it. I just want to go into a couple things though that I really love about the draft. I love that they're now taking it out to different cities. So Detroit, hey, congrats to them. They had, over 700,000 people show up over the couple days. That's one of the things that I think is spectacular. The other thing is, you got to love these outfits the players wear.
Yeah, Jim, it's some dudes, whatever they had on probably cost more than most Americans' salary. So I think Caleb Williams was sporting a Chrome Hearts suit, and his girlfriend was wearing Versace, chain link, very famous and popular dress. And he was actually tweeting about it before the draft that me and my lady are going to wear something that no one's ever seen before. So guys take it very serious. They put on some good suits, and I saw some good banter with CJ Stroud, which if you didn't see this, CJ Stroud and Micah Parsons sat there with, I think it was PFF essentially, but they sat there and talked the whole draft and kind of had a draft show where they did some really fun stuff, and they were kind of just talking crap the whole time to each other. But they give some really good insight on the draft and different guys that were being picked up and saying, oh, I wanted this guy on my team, or this team just got a steal in this guy. So they had a really fun time. But speaking of that, I forget who it was, but someone came on the show after they got drafted, and CJ Stroud said, man, your outfit is absolutely horrible. And they were going back and forth. It was fun. This dude, someone was wearing like a bright green suit, and CJ Stroud was letting them have it. But it's always fun to see who's going to sport what. I think we remember back in 2016 or 17 when Ezekiel Elliott went with the crop top suit. That was a new one. So it's like we see something new every year. So it's fun to watch.
All right, let's move on to actual players. Let's talk Penn State players first. Near the top, I think both Olu and Chop Robinson went in the first round. No surprise there. That was pretty much what we expected, wasn't it, Landon?
It was. Yep. They, Chop Robinson got, I think he went at 21 to the Dolphins. Really good situation down there. And actually, Chop to the Dolphins, Olu to the Jets. Chop Robinson and Olu are going to see each other two times a year that should be fun to watch. That should be good for Penn State fans and should be fun for them. I mean, those guys have went up against each other since high school. So very cool. They went up against each other high school, practiced against each other every day in college, and now they will be rivals down in the AFC East. So that's really exciting, but real happy for them. I think they're both in good situations. Olu getting to come straight out of college and be the blindside protector for Aaron Rodgers. I think that's pretty neat towards the end of his career, get to you know, really protect one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So that's really fun. And then Chop obviously coming into a situation in Miami where really explosive team and they have the opportunity to be really good. So I think even though they got drafted pretty high, you know, sometimes it's a worry to get drafted high in the first round. You don't want to go to too rough of a situation. We've seen some draftees. I think the Giants, when they drafted a wide receiver that did not seem to be too happy that he will have Daniel Jones throwing to him. So there's certain situations you don't want to be in, but I think all our guys got put in some pretty good situations. So I think that's pretty exciting. And I don't know if anybody saw on Twitter, but if you didn't, you go check it out. Penn State football posted about a 4-minute video of Coach Franklin. He showed up to Olu Fashanu's draft party, I think around 7 p.m. down in Waldorf, Maryland, which is in Southern Maryland. And right after Olu got picked, hopped in the car and did the dash over to Bethesda, Maryland, where Chop Robinson resides, which is about an hour. You have to go through D.C. to get up there. It's not an easy drive, and made it just in time to watch Chop get drafted. So pretty cool by Coach Franklin making sure he gets to both houses. And hey, that Jim, I think that says something about the state of Maryland. We're clearly pumping out some first round draft picks. If he's able to go, county to county in the state of Maryland. So I'm always repping my Maryland guys. But yeah, first round, no surprise there with Chop and Olu. They're both going to have fantastic careers, and like I said, I think they're both in really good positions for themselves.
I'm glad you mentioned Coach Franklin doing that trip. I think that's the kind of thing that he is very good at. It creates relationships. The players, the families, they've got to appreciate the effort that he puts in to do that type of thing.
Yeah. I think that's something that Coach Franklin does the best out of anything he does, man. He those relationships that he cultivates, and it's a relationship driven, you know, college football league, recruiting, all that stuff. That's what it's about, is being able to connect with your players and creating those long lasting relationships. And, I think we don't see that from a lot of coaches, and sometimes it's taken for granted a bit. So it's really nice to have a coach that, you know, truly cares and wants to be there for his guys. So it's exciting to see from a fan standpoint and a standpoint of someone who played for him that, he's continuing to do that and make sure that he's there for his guys, not only, you know, while they're playing at Penn State, but upward and onward to other things, NFL, weddings, all that stuff. It's very cool to see.
It really is. And that's part of what he does well, and that helps with the people ask what makes him a good recruiter. It's that, right? It's that relationship building.
Yeah. I mean, families see that stuff, and they love that. I think that is a sell. Penn State football putting that out. You know, obviously Coach Franklin, he's doing that out of the love of his heart, but they're not slick. They know what they were doing by putting that out. A lot of commitments are coming up here this summer. A lot of, well, I guess 2025s are committing. I feel old. It's crazy. But a lot of 2025s are, you know, committing here in the near future. You see that video. You got a head coach that's going to be there for your family and you, and definitely persuasive. So, like I said, good on Coach Franklin. It's a good recruiting tactic as well. But like I said, obviously does care about his guys. So it's always nice to see. It's refreshing, because I think we see very often many coaches will, you know, jump ship and not care too much about their guys. And I've spoken about, you know, how Coach Franklin handled my situation with me stepping away from football, and, you know, just completely class, a great guy and a great organization. So that's Penn State football.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the other players that went. Come round three, Adisa Isaac went to the Washington Commanders. I got to just point out, you know, and we've talked about, I'm an Eagles fan. I hate when the Penn State players go to another team in the NFC East.
Jim, I got to correct you. He went to the Ravens.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Ravens. You know what? I was reading off my notes from where he was projected in the projections I used.
Oh, okay.
My apologies for that.
Listen, well, I can take that right over. You were saying it. I can take it over because I'm a Steelers fan. My division. I can agree with you. Now we have to go against Jason Owe and Adisa in the same year, facing those guys off the edge. Not exciting at all. But it's fun. It's so fun now, especially for me, you know, having personal relationships with these guys, but also just being a fan and going and saying, hey, it's fun to watch a ton of different NFL because there's so many different Penn State guys around the league. You can turn on any game and you're going to get to see a Penn State football player balling out. It's exciting, but at the same time, you're absolutely right on that, Jim. It's not too fun to watch a Penn Stater tear up your team a little bit, but hey, we're always rooting Penn State first. Although I don't know when the Steelers and Ravens get together, all bets are off. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might have to go the other way. But speaking of that, speaking of Penn State, I do want to share. I said we'll get into some stats that I found throughout Twitter throughout draft weekend, and I saw this stat. I wanted to share this. This is the seventh straight season that Penn State has had at least five players selected in the NFL draft. The only other time we've had a streak that long at Penn State was 1977 to 1984. That's the only other time we've had a streak that long in this program. And I think that speaks to the players that we're able to pump out. You know, obviously it's hard when you're having that type of production. And we had a national championship during that run, during that 77 to 84 run. So I think some fans could actually get a little frustrated off that stat, but it's nice to see Penn State pumping out NFL ready guys. And you see it, you see Jaquan Brisker, you see Jair Brown, all these guys come in and have an impact right away. I think we see a lot more of that this coming year with all these guys we saw go in the draft.
Yeah, it's exciting that there's so many of the players going in the draft. We're just about set here for quarter number one. When we come back, I want to stay on Adisa Isaac for a second, going to the Ravens, and talk about the situation and how important it is which team a player goes to. I got to think, as a defensive player, going to the Ravens is a great fit. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology, where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Landon Tangwall. We are talking about the draft. We're talking specifically about Penn Staters in the draft. When we finished up quarter number one, Landon, we were talking about Adisa Isaac going to the Ravens, not the Commanders, to the Ravens. And I always wonder about how the situation for a player, I think, has so much effect on his career. We could talk about that a little bit in general with the quarterbacks especially. But I think for Adisa Isaac as a defensive player, the Ravens has to be a great fit for him.
Yeah, Jim, the Ravens have a long-standing tradition of having the best defense in the league or always being top three. I mean, everybody remembers that 2000 Ravens defense that essentially won them the Super Bowl. They had Trent Dilfer and some other questionable guys on the offensive side, and they handled the Giants in the Super Bowl. I wasn't alive for that, but I always remember the 2000 Ravens defense being talked about, and they have kept that tradition alive and well. And, you know, you come into a situation where you are surrounded by playmakers on the defensive side. You got Roquan Smith, one of the best middle linebackers in the league, you know, helping you out, directing you where to go. Kyle Hamilton becoming quickly one of the best safeties in the league for the Ravens. They got some really good cornerbacks, Marlon Humphreys. And then obviously being across from Jason Owe gives him that opportunity to, you know, have those one-on-one situations. So I do think where someone goes can, and the situations they're put in, can completely affect where their career trajectory goes. And if you're a defensive, especially a defensive lineman, but a defensive player in general, headed to the Baltimore Ravens, you are in a great situation because you are putting, you are being put in the best situation to succeed because you have so many playmakers around you. They're having a game plan for these guys, and it gives you a little opportunity to be a game breaker. If you're, like I said, you get those one-on-one situations, they're not really worried about you game planning for you, which I think, you know, Chop and Adisa both saw a little bit last year, you know, some, a lot of double teams and that type of stuff being sent their way. Well, now there's a lot of other people they got to worry about instead of you at the moment, especially with you being a rookie. They're not too worried about you. Gives you quite the opportunity to make an impression and, you know, have some big games. So I'm really excited for Adisa. I think he's headed into a fantastic situation and really should thrive with that Baltimore Ravens defense, which, like I said, has been elite for some time now. And it looks like they're going to continue that trend. And they, once the Ravens, too, I mean, they kill it in the draft every year. Eric DaCosta has done a fantastic job. His daughter actually goes to Penn State. So I've seen him a couple of times, the Ravens GM, and he is beloved in the Ravens organization after, obviously, Ozzie Newsome was their GM, longtime GM, and he did a great job in the drafts leading up to these past couple years, and then gets taken over by Eric DaCosta. He's been killing it, the Ravens draft, really well. And, you know, we talked about playing, you know, teams in our division and Penn State players going there. But the Ravens, they always kill it. So I'm not ever happy to see it or happy to see one of our guys go to the Ravens, because I have to root against them naturally, Jim. But being, you know, being happy for the guys themselves, in all seriousness, really cool for Adisa. He's heading into a situation there where he is absolutely put in a position to succeed. So that's really exciting.
Speaking of fits, I'm curious to get your reaction to Theo Johnson going to the Giants, which they've struggled offensively. What do you think of the fit for Theo?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, the Giants have been struggling in the past game. Daniel Jones has had a rough couple years and just got signed to a really big extension a year or two ago, where a lot of Giants fans were like, man, what are we doing here signing this guy? So clearly they're trying to get some pieces around him. I'm drawing a blank on the name. The Giants took a wide receiver early on. I'm drawing a blank. I think it was the LSU wide receiver, maybe. But
Was it Odunza?
It was. No. That was Bears. Bears took Rome at they took him at 9. Neighbors. I think it's Malik Neighbors from LSU.
Okay.
Was the wide receiver. Neighbors. And I've seen a ton of videos on Twitter, and he's showing up to the facility and he's in the press conference. I mean, not happy. It seems like this guy's not happy with the situation of the offense that he's in. And we just saw Saquon Barkley obviously ecstatic that he's leaving New York. It was not conducive to success for Saquon. And I really think if Saquon went anywhere else, he would have had a much better start to his career. So, you know, I think Theo Johnson, in his case, though, I think this is somewhere where he can go and really succeed. Darren Waller went to the Giants from the Raiders, and Darren Waller was the man. He was the best tight end in the NFL. It was him and Travis Kelce. He went over to the Giants and really just completely fell off. I mean, it was like he disappeared. So I think the Giants were looking for a little bit of help. And Theo Johnson, he can block, but this is someone that you can put in the slot. He's 6'6". He is a long body, has long legs. You can get him on a mismatch with a small nickel cornerback, even some safeties. That's how big he is. He's just a mismatch. And let him loose, man. Hopefully Daniel Jones can deliver this guy some dimes. I mean, they call him Danny Dimes. He's been struggling a little bit. But once again, even though this is, you know, for a lot of people, not the best situation if you're a running back or maybe even a star wide receiver like Malik Neighbors, But I think this is a really good situation for Theo because he can come in and really kind of be that spark plug. I mean, they don't really have too many guys that can provide that type of elite ability that Theo has. I mean, we've seen it. He's a long body. He catches everything. He is a really good blocker, thanks to Ty Howe. Has all his tight ends really efficient in the run blocking game. It's hard because you're headed into an offense that was bottom and almost 32nd in the league in a lot of categories. But I still find myself kind of excited for him just because there's such an opportunity for guys to step up on the Giants' offense. And Theo's also, he's a natural leader. He stepped up for this team the past couple years and was one of the main leaders on offense. He was the main vocal leader this past year. Who knows? Theo has a good preseason, has a good first couple games. He could find himself into, not only a starting role, but kind of a leadership role on the Giants team that is really lacking and needs some help. So as much as, some people might say it's a bad situation, I think there's a lot of opportunity there for Theo to really bust through. And not only the fact of the Giants, aren't too great, but that means you're playing behind a decent amount. Hopefully playing behind against your Eagles, Jim. And when you're playing behind, you get a lot of looks. You're passing a lot. You're slinging the ball. And like I said, I think Theo can play a bunch of different positions. I think he can play, on the line as a true tight end, but break him out in the slot. I mean, this day and age, these teams are looking for essentially tight ends that are pretty much wide receivers, just a little bit of a bigger body. So, it's not the best situation from a standpoint of how good the offense is in New York, but the opportunity Theo has to succeed, I think, is very evident and clear, and a lot of opportunity for him to take control of that situation. So really excited for Theo there.
I also think as a tight end, he could be that safety valve that a Daniel Jones will look to a lot. Let's talk about offensive linemen, Landon. We talked, of course, about Olu going very high to the Jets, but you also had Caden Wallace going to the Patriots in the third round, Hunter Norzad going to the Chiefs. That's three offensive linemen getting drafted. That really reflects well on the Penn State team. Tell me about the fits for Caden Wallace and Hunter Norzad.
Yeah, well, first thing I'll say about this too is, but before I even get into them, this is a great selling point for Coach Philip Troutwine when he is out there recruiting offensive linemen. I don't think he needs a ton of help in that because he has been absolutely killing it on the recruiting trail since he got here. He's been doing a really good job locking up some top level 5-star guys. He brought in 2 5-stars last year. Cooper Cousins was a 5-star guy, but it continues to show the type of guys that Trout is pumping out. And it's not just, he's not bringing in, these aren't all 5-star guys that he's pumping out. Olu was a 3-star lineman coming out of high school. Hunter Norzad was a transfer from Cornell. It's pretty impressive that Caden Wallace, after his second, third year when Trout came in, Caden had a good first 2 years and then really started to struggle his third year. I think he had almost close to 10 sacks let up. I mean, it was pretty rough. Turns him around his fourth year, only lets up 1 sack, decides to come back and really improve his game again. Caden Wallace, once again, only lets up 1 sack in his fifth year and really started to define and fine-tune those details of his game. And he's so athletic that I think some teams were saying, hey, we can't let this guy get out of day two. We have to take him in round three. And Caden even, I saw him talking about it. I talked to him since. He was kind of laughing, having a good laugh about it. He was really, he said, dude, I wasn't supposed to go this high. Everybody said I was 100. I was either 100 or, higher as far as the top prospects. And I'm getting drafted, 69th overall. But he said, I'm going to make the most of my opportunity. But when you see that much improvement from an offensive lineman over those last 2 years, and then you add on top of that, he's one of the most athletic linemen in the class and can play both. He can play tackle and guard. We've talked about what that versatility means to an NFL GM when they're looking at an offensive lineman in the draft, especially once you start to get out of the first round. You take a guy like Olu, he is playing left tackle and left tackle only. But you start to get into that second, third, fourth round, you're looking at these guys and saying, hey, how versatile is this offensive lineman? How many positions can he play? And I think that answer for Caden is he can play four out of the five positions on the offensive line. So that's another reason why, you know, that mixed with his athletic ability, I think is part of the reason why he went so high to the Patriots. But, you know, in a decent situation for Caden there, probably looks like he has a good chance to get some playing time early at the right tackle position. You know, obviously it's always a competition in the NFL. You're always going to have to beat some guys out, but doesn't seem like there's anybody that's absolutely locked into that spot. So should be fun to see him get his opportunity somewhat early on with the Patriots there. And obviously has a new quarterback to protect in Drake May. So who knows, you kind of come in with a rookie quarterback, you build something special. Could be fun for Caden Wallace up there in Foxborough.
It definitely could be. When we come back, I do want to ask you about the fit for Hunter Norzad going to, you know, the Super Bowl champion to the Chiefs, how that works for a young lineman. But I think also, as you said, that just reflects so well on Troutwine and his ability as an offensive line coach, not just recruiting, but bringing in an Ivy League guy and getting him drafted. We'll talk about that as soon as we come back.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're talking about the Penn State players who went through the NFL draft. And Landon, when we finished up, we were talking about the offensive linemen and just how well they have represented Penn State here in the draft. You were talking about the fit for Caden Wallace with New England. Hunter Norzad, the transfer from the Ivy League school, comes in, plays center at Penn State. You had talked about him previously that you were pretty high on Hunter Norzad. He goes to the Chiefs, a really good team. What does that mean for his situation?
Yeah, I think first off, it's really exciting when you go to the Super Bowl, to the reigning Super Bowl champs. I mean, you're obviously headed into a good situation. And anytime you get to come in with a generational quarterback, that's ultimately just very exciting for, you know, overall for a player. There's nothing like being on a winning team. Heading to a team that was just had two or three wins the previous year, that type of stuff. And you start to stack that up. I mean, I heard Joe Thomas talk about it, obviously being on the poverty Browns for a while there. It can be rough, and that's hard on your mental. So to go to a team that wins that much consistently is very exciting. From a standpoint of Hunter's play, he had a great year. He's someone who really flashes. Sometimes can be a little inconsistent with his blocks and miss some blocks that he shouldn't. But sometimes he and especially in the run game, he will make you say, wow, and just put someone on their butt, and he can move too. And you know how unique the Kansas City Chiefs like to get in their offense, do a lot of cool trickery, movement, you know, getting outside zone, pin and pull, a lot of cool stuff like that. I think he fits really well. One of the most violent pullers I have ever seen 2 years ago at Ohio State, absolutely de-cleated one of the Ohio State safeties. I put that up on my Twitter. I'm going to have to put it up again for those Chief fans out there. But so I'm really excited for the situation that Hunter's coming into. Obviously, Creed Humphreys is the best center in the NFL. He is Mahomes, you know, he's locked in as Mahomes center for the foreseeable future. So I think Hunter's coming into a situation where he has some time to learn. But Hunter played a lot of guard. So I don't think that the Chiefs are just viewing him strictly as a center. Definitely a center/guard, where they have Trey Smith on the right side, who is got drafted a couple years ago, a very much an elite guard. Now they've had some turnover on the left guard, so not exactly sure, you know, who's playing there. But I think Hunter could have an opportunity to really get some playing time. And when the NFL rosters, when you solidify down those 53 men, you only keep about 7, maybe 8 linemen on those rosters. And we've talked about how long and treacherous a college football season is. Jim, that's only about 3/4 of an NFL season. And if you make it to the Super Bowl like the Chiefs normally do, it's pretty, college football is pretty much half of the season that you see in the NFL. So saying all that to say, very good opportunity. If Hunter Norzad makes this 53-man roster, which he's the type of guy I know he is. I mean, he's a NFL veteran as a rookie. I think he's going to make it. Could really see some playing time early on for the Chiefs. And when you're playing, like I said, blocking for Mahomes, Olu gets the block for Aaron Rodgers. We got some linemen getting the block for some legendary quarterbacks, and that's really some cool stuff. So, you know, obviously no guarantees on Hunter Norzad when you start to get drafted a little bit later. But I mean, walking into a really good, fun situation to be a part of, being part of that Chiefs team. So once again, another guy walking into a cool situation where I think he is put in a position to thrive.
And you made a great point when you talk about the NFL roster. There's only 53 players. So if you're an offensive lineman, especially a backup lineman, to be able to play center and guard, to be versatile enough, that's very helpful. Let's talk about one of our favorites. You know where I'm headed with this one, our buddy Daquan Hardy. There was some doubt whether he would be drafted or not. He ended up going in the 6th round to the Buffalo Bills. Good for him. I think he's going to make the team.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think one of the main reasons he will is that punt returning and kick returning ability, Jim. That in the NFL, we had multiple former NFL GMs and agents come and talk to us while we were at Penn State. You know, Franklin would bring them in for team meetings and we'd get to hear from them. And the number one thing that they say is, hey, if you are not a first round, you know, maybe second round guy, you better be able to provide on special teams. And whatever that may be, fly down and make a tackle if you're a wide receiver, or have that ability to be an elite kick returner and make some special stuff happen. We have seen what Daquan Hardy can do with the ball in his hands. I don't think that the Buffalo Bills are lost on the fact of how good of a punt returner Daquan Hardy is. I think that definitely that was part of what went into that pick at pick 219. So, you know, I obviously not exactly sure how he'll, you know, fair on defense, where he fits in on that Buffalo defense. They have some good cornerbacks, but also being a good nickel cornerback, that's really good, Jim. It's not easy in the NFL to play nickel cornerback position, and there's not a lot of good ones. So if Daquan Hardy can kind of find his groove up in Buffalo, be an effective guy for them on special teams, could find, and when you start to really have an impact on special teams, it makes those coaches want to give you more opportunities on your side of the ball. It makes you want to say, hey, let's get him a couple extra reps in there at nickel cornerback. Let's see what this guy can do. And Jim, any Penn State fan, we know what Daquan Hardy can do. He sticks to guys like glue, and it doesn't matter if they're a 6'6 tight end or a shifty slot wide receiver. He can stick to those guys out of that nickel slot cornerback position. So I'm, once again, we're excited for our guys. It should be fun for Daquan Hardy and Bills Mafia. That is something special to be a part of. Those fans, they get down different up there up there in Buffalo, man. They have a good time breaking tables and smashing beer cans over their heads.
All the fun stuff. Well, I think we also, as Penn State fans, we see them play every game, and we know we can look beyond the height and see the athleticism. This is a guy who's a leaper. Mm. He makes up for that lack of height with that athleticism. Now we'll go the other way on the athleticism scale, and that's Kalen King, who a year ago was projected to be a first-round pick. He didn't have a great year. He didn't have a great combine. He ended up going to the Packers in the 7th round. Now, having watched him for a couple years, I think he's a steal as a 7th-round pick, Landon.
Yeah, the Packers got fantastic value here. So that's great news for Packers fans. For Kalen King, obviously this hurts. When it was, you know, around the locker room, around the team, after that Rose Bowl year, it was, you know, Kalen King's going to be a first-round draft pick next year, maybe second. We'll see what happens. And, you know, just came in and didn't really have that junior season he wanted to have. And I think, and we talked about this a little bit, we have a lot of guys on this roster this year that are headed in to prove it years in their second or third year where a lot of pressure is now on them. And I think somewhat what happened was Kalen King, if he could have left after his sophomore year, if he could have left after 2 years, he would have went in the first or second round. And it was almost like he had to come back. It was like, all right, you have to come do this one more. Let's kind of get this over with. And I think when there's that pressure on where it's like, okay, you had two really good years, but you need to do this one more time. It's like, okay, I need to do good. There's some pressure on me. And it just didn't live up to the hype that he had. And Marvin Harrison, obviously not an easy task at all, but Marvin Harrison had a really good day against Kalen King. And he struggled against a couple other wide receivers. And so I think after this past season, and then him also opting out of the bowl game, after a bad year, kind of put a bad taste in not only some fans' mouth, but when I'm a GM looking at that, if you have a bad year, finish this thing off right. You have a month to prepare for this bowl game. Come back and show me something. Show me something in this bowl game. Show me something meaningful that you really care instead of just opting out and just trying to get out of there. So I think his stock kind of kept taking hit after hit after hit. You know, not a great junior year. Opted out of the bowl game. That hurts. And then NFL Combine, he is pretty much bottom five in every category for cornerbacks, from 40-yard dash to vertical jump to, you know, broad jump, all of it just really did not test well. And, you know, it's hard because when someone's just pretty good on the field, and, you know, he's a lockdown cornerback. And like I said, struggled a little bit, but it's difficult when you see that. But the NFL GMs, they put a lot on those intangibles. And when you are testing, when you test that badly, it's going to drop you down the board. And you pair that bad of a testing with a rough season, you know, it's kind of bound to happen. So it sucks. But at the same time, we have talked about this in the past, Jim. When you're drafted in the first or second round, there's a lot of pressure put on you. And, you know, it's saying, hey, you need to succeed now. We're in a day and age where there's no, you know, this guy gets 2 or 3 years to get NFL ready. If they spend that much capital on you, you better be ready to go week one of your rookie season. Now, on the flip side of that, when you're a seventh round pick, they don't even know if you're going to make the team. So a lot of that pressure is now off you. Kalen King is headed into Packers training camp in July and August with an immense amount less pressure than, say, you know, Olufoshanu, Chop Robinson. They're going in there saying, hey, a little nervous. I need to perform. I need to show these guys, you know, what I can do. Kalen King goes in and messes up a little bit, or, you know, but is showing some potential and clamping down at some guys, but then struggling a little bit here. He gets a little more leeway because he's a seventh round pick. So I will say that's why we see some of these later round picks excel quicker, because those expectations are not put on them to succeed right away.
And also, he gets an opportunity to show what he could do on the field, not the combine, not the, you know, running in shorts. Last guy, look, Curtis Jacobs, not drafted. Were you as surprised as I was? Mm.
Oh, that was a big surprise. I kind of had him pegged third, fourth round. I think that was the biggest surprise to anybody. I think he had a really good Senior Bowl too. I really am confused by this one. I don't know what happened. I think sometimes guys just kind of slip through the cracks. I was cheering for the Steelers to pick him up late. I mean, I was shocked by this one, Jim. It's hard to see, especially when it's someone you've known for a while. But headed into a decent, but he signed with the Chiefs as an undrafted free agent. So we got, once again, we talked about going into a situation where you are with the reigning Super Bowl champions. That's exciting, and they need some help on defense. So, you know, obviously, anytime you're an undrafted free agent, you're not exactly expected to make an impact. But same kind of thing here with Curtis Jacobs. Not only does he not have the pressure on him because he's an undrafted free agent, he almost has a chip on his shoulder where, hey, you guys didn't draft me. I'm about to prove all these teams wrong.
All right, that's it for this segment. We've got more to go. Stick with us.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're talking about the NFL draft. Before we get to your Steelers, which I do want to get to, Landon, I just want to talk to you about a couple things with the draft in general. At the top of the draft, where the quarterbacks all went, it's fascinating to me how much a player might move between the end of the combine and the draft. They don't play a play. They don't work out for any, well, they may work out. They may do the visits to the teams and all, but how does the player move so much? But also, what I'm fascinated by is Michael Penix was the most controversial pick. He was picked by the Falcons in the top 10. It was this crazy pick. They got murdered for it. What I wonder is, and I'm a Michael Penix fan, I would not be surprised if he turns into a very good NFL quarterback. I just wonder if 2 or 3 years from now, if that turns out to be the case, will all these critics come back and say, you know what, I was so wrong 2 years ago?
Yeah, it is interesting how stuff moves around. With, like you said, virtually nothing really happens, but there is just talk between GMs, and then they start to kind of dive deeper into some tape and look deeper into some guys, and maybe they drop or go up with that deeper look. But yeah, talking about Penix, man, Twitter was lighting into the Falcons. And I will say, as much as either if Penix is good or bad, whichever way he goes, I still think it was a really big mistake on the Falcons' part, because they just signed Kirk Cousins to, it's over $100 million. I think it's like a $120 million deal with Kirk Cousins. And then you turn around and you spend the sixth overall pick on a quarterback who isn't really, you know, he wasn't, like I said, could be very good. And some people actually had him. I saw RG3 and a couple other guys that definitely, you know what they're talking about, said that they thought he was actually one of the best pure pocket passers in this draft. But it's like you spend all this money on a quarterback with Kirk Cousins, and then you turn around and you spend this draft capital that you could have. I mean, it sounds like if you're going to pick a quarterback there, trade back. I mean, if you have the sixth, seventh pick, trade back. You can get some insane capital from a team in the teens or the 20s. You can load up on a couple first round draft picks. So I think that's the first kind of questionable thing. And then the Falcons GM comes out and kind of doubles down on it. And he says, you know, if Michael Penix has to sit for 3 or 4 years, I don't think that's the worst thing, because that means that we're doing well at the quarterback position. I mean, I don't know. They made a worse situation even worse by saying that. I mean, it got to the point where it's like, what are you doing saying that your sixth overall pick could sit for 3 to 4 years? I mean, it's one thing to take Jordan Love with Aaron Rodgers' situation. It was a little bit later. It was like, you know, pick later in the 20s, and it was clearly the right pick. To rush a pick at number six with a quarterback that really should not have went that high and rushing that and then saying he's going to sit, I don't know, Jim. It's pretty bad on the Falcons' part. So like I said, obviously I want to see Michael Penix succeed. We saw him at Indiana. He was still short of the goal line. I do want to say that real quick. They showed that. I think that got some Penn State fans pretty angry. They showed that clip when he got drafted. So definitely got some Penn State fans' feathers rustled up a little bit. But just that was sometimes, you know, these GMs, they get paid millions of dollars and they are considered the best in the world. But it's like every once in a while you see these blunders and it's like, dude, my grandma could have done better than that. I really question how they, if they were thinking about taking Michael Penix and they liked him that much, I don't know why sign Kirk Cousins to a $150 million deal. It just, it doesn't make much sense. And then, like I said, coming out and saying this four to five years, if Michael Penix has to sit, that means it's good. And 4 to 5 years, once one thing, Michael Penix is 24 years old. So we're talking Michael Penix 28, 29 years old. And then also the contract's up anyways. That's your rookie contract, if you're a first round pick, is 4 years with a fifth year option. So it's just, that was pretty abysmal. Outside of that, I don't think there was too many big time draft blunders, but definitely really questionable draft choice from the Falcons. And I didn't see the rest of their draft, but I saw more experts kind of bagging on them. Apparently they had another questionable pick later. I don't know if you're a Falcons fan. I don't know if we have too many Falcons fans, but if you are, I'm praying for you, man. It's not looking to be too great for you guys, but hopefully you find some success in Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins here in the near future.
Well, the thing that happens with the draft where you get is it a reach for a player? And I believe their second round pick was also considered a reach. He was projected maybe in the fourth round. Now, the only thing I'll say to that is sometimes, you know, that's based on what the media says. You don't know. You don't know if there were other teams that were hot for Michael Penix and you really could have traded down and still gotten him if you really wanted him. The other thing that I will point out is a couple years ago, the Eagles had what was considered a very good young quarterback, and they went and spent a second-round pick on a quarterback. And everybody wondered why. They got trashed for that pick. Why in the world would you pick this guy in the second round, this quarterback by the name of Jalen Hurts? That one turned out to be a pretty good pick. Now, I'm not, again, I understand, you know, they just invested in Kirk Cousins. We stalled long enough. Let's get to your Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, I'm the Eagles guy. I'm very happy with what the Eagles did. But probably the only team that got more accolades for their draft than the Eagles were your Pittsburgh Steelers, Landon.
Yeah, Jim, I was excited following this one. I think we figured we'd cover this. We got a lot of Eagles-Steelers fans. I think you're getting to the Eagles with Chris a little bit later on another show. So we'll touch a little bit on the Steelers draft here. Like I said, a lot of places, PFF, Bleacher Report, have the Steelers with the best draft of 2024. There was definitely a couple glaring needs coming into this draft. Wide receiver, offensive line, cornerback, and a little bit of defensive line. We picked up Patrick Queen from the Ravens in free agency, so started to kind of shore up that middle linebacker spot, but still needed another one. We came in at pick 20 and took Troy. I don't want to butcher. I need to start to really learn this, and I'm really excited to hear Yinzers try to pronounce Troy Fatuanu, I believe, from Washington. So I'm excited to hear that in the Yinzer accent. But I think, and I'm starting to break down his film. I put some stuff out on my Twitter, a couple of clips of him. Really athletic kid. I think one tackles with one of the biggest upsides and highest ceilings out of all of them. Kind of right up there with Olu Fashanu. Short, a little bit shorter, 6'3". But has those 34-inch arms, so he has the arms, the length to do it. And the Steelers came out and said that he will play tackle. Not sure which tackle, which side that's going to be. Really excited about that. We come back, second-round pick, Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, which some teams had him as the best center in the draft. Some other teams had Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon up there. They were kind of neck and neck. They both went in the second round. You know, really excited, really starting to shore up this offensive line that has been pretty rough for the Pittsburgh Steelers in these past couple years. If you think back to when Big Ben was really thriving with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and those guys, there was some maulers up front. I mean, David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, who ended up retiring, Ramon Foster. I mean, there was some legit dudes up front that were protecting Ben and allowing Le'Veon Bell and creating those holes for Lev Bell. And we haven't had that since about 2017. The offensive line has really went downhill. Well, if you're the Steelers, you spend a first-round draft pick last year on your tackle out of Georgia. You come back, you get yourself another tackle, and then you get yourself a center too, probably the best center in the draft. That gets me excited, and not only because I'm an offensive lineman, but I know how important shoring up that offensive line is. So I think right there the Steelers killed their first two picks. come back round three, and Roman Wilson is dropping down the boards. No one really knows why, but really big playmaker for Michigan this past year. And we sneak a little Roman Wilson in a round three. We need some wide receivers help across from George Pickens. This is someone who can play in the slot. He did a lot of gadget stuff at Michigan, end of rounds, that type of thing. Really excited picking up Roman Wilson there. Like I said, wide receiver was a big need for us. So shoring up the offensive line, get that wide receiver that we needed. I think we will pick up a veteran wide receiver in free agency. They're still kind of shopping around there. So excited to see where Tomlin goes with that. But this is the pick that a lot of people are talking about for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Peyton Wilson, inside linebacker from NC State, is, in a lot of people's eyes, the best linebacker in this draft. Now, you know, obviously he went round four, but the reason why is his athleticism and his length. He is tall, lengthy, and can move from side to side, sideline to sideline. And the reason why he was drafted in the fourth round is because, Jim, this guy is playing without one of his ACLs. So that's a little, it's a little worrisome when you don't have an ACL in one of your knees, because that means it is bone on bone. You're dealing with a lot of pain there. And sometimes that can, you know, it's a risk when you're drafting anybody. As a GM, you're looking at it and you look at your injury report. And actually, when you leave, I saw this at these bowl games, our athletic trainer will come around with a stack, and it depends how much you get hurt, but a stack of all your paperwork and your injuries from your college years. And he hands it to you and he says, you know, here, do whatever you need with this. Give this to the NFL teams. They're going to request it and they'll do their own stuff on you. But so there's, you know, the NFL GMs, they assess those injuries and what has happened to someone over their course of their career. I think that's the reason why Peyton Wilson dropped so much. But I'm seeing a lot of guys, Brian Baldinger and these other draft experts, talk about him in some really high regard, saying, look, he was LB one or two from an inside linebacker standpoint, but he just started to drop because of concerns of not having an ACL. I mean, that's pretty significant. But there is a Steelers legend that we drafted without an ACL. Hines Ward did not have his right ACL for his entire career. Didn't have it in college. Steelers obviously drafted him. We know how that turned out. But really excited for Peyton Wilson, teaming him up with Patrick Queen. Now this defense is really starting to get put together. Still lacking a little bit in that corner, in that corner department. Obviously, Joey Porter Jr., we have our lockdown cornerback there, our Penn State guy. We love him. Obviously, son of Joey Porter, Steelers legend. I mean, that couldn't be a more perfect scenario. But need to get a little bit of help, maybe in free agency, a couple young guys that could step up there. So the cornerback is still kind of a question mark for the Steelers. But they really started to shore up this defense through this draft. They were in love with offensive linemen. They came back round four, and they got Mason McCormick. He was a South Dakota State guard, and he was ranked the best guard in the FCS. Really excited about him.
All right, I got to end it there. I know you're excited about the Steelers. We got to end it there. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.